Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we examine the office of evangelist as part of our study of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And this is part of our ongoing verse-by-verse study of the epistle of Paul to the church in Ephesus. And you will find our audio and video series on Ephesians and many other books and topics by going to BBFOhio.com. or by listening to our 24/7 internet radio station at bbfohioradio.com. That's bbfohioradio.com. If you have questions, comments, or prayer requests, you may send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or send your letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now let's begin our study of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and the office of evangelist. This is part 1 of 2. Alrighty, well, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. As we've been going line upon line, precept upon precept, and we're going to look at the office of evangelist. We'll start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Olivia and her birthday and cake. Amen. We thank you for the fellowship, and we thank you for this time to open the book and to simply learn the word. Lord, it'd be wonderful if we'd see more churches actually teach the Bible. And in the meantime, all we can do is what we can do, and here at BBF we just want to teach the book to as many who will learn. We pray this live stream goes well, and we'll be able to upload this online as well. And our purpose is to please you, because it says that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto you, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn off cell phones. Just want to remind you of that. Like, I see some people doing it too. And while you're doing that, I just want to point this out. The fan response to the Cubs winning the National League pennant. I have to tell you, I haven't even watched a game this year, but I turned it over because the Buckeyes were on. I was watching that. And I turned it over and they won, you know. And when the team, this is the first time in my lifetime, it's the first time in like 70 years. And everybody's going crazy. And by the way, Back to the Future was only off by 1 year.
Right.
If they win the World Series, because I think they actually win the World Series in the Back to the Future.
Wow.
But what happened when they won, I could not believe. It was surreal. And it reminded me of this picture of what it would look like if the Titanic had sank in modern times. Because the cameras were panned back and showing the crowd, and you expect people to be going, I can't believe this. Well, some of them were, but about a third of the people in that place were like this.
Wow.
And it's like, instead of celebrating, I'm going to record it with my smartphone. Me and 1,000 of my closest friends. And
You'll never be able to see it on YouTube. I know,
that's my point. I mean, it's no reason to record an event that's going to be out there, and everyone's got video of it. And it's just really weird. But it was also, it's weird when you go to weddings now. It used to be everybody turned and looked at the bride and, oh, how pretty. Now it's everybody's doing this. Everybody getting their personal, you know, it's just weird. And I would not blame people if they had weddings and stuff to ban them. Just say, you know, do not. Yeah, Sean?
Oh, I was just going to ask, once they get to film all this stuff, do they have like a safe folding box to put them all in? So they can be found and studied and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? Yeah.
Then we reenacted.
Did you ever get a video of your?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have video.
I want to get a copy of that.
Yeah, it's really good video from online.
Great.
Yeah, saw that.
All right, so getting into the text, and it says in some evangelists, we've been going through where it said Jesus gave gifts, and the gifts were, among other things, apostles, prophets and now evangelists. And I want to give you a warning. We are only concerned with what the Bible says. And so that's why it's important to make these studies, because the idea of evangelists is like the idea of apostles and prophets. There's all kinds of wild nonsense out there. In addition to what the Bible says is an evangelist. There is an office of evangelist, and I don't believe that it is something that went, ended at the time of transition. Because the purpose of the evangelist is different than that of the apostle and prophet. It's going to be a very cut and dry, straightforward study that only mature and careful Bible students will appreciate. And I say that because now all of you are going to try to impress everybody by paying attention. Because I'm mature and I'm careful, and so I'm going to really appreciate. Look at me. Watch me appreciate this Bible study. There's only one man given the title of the office of evangelist. Did you know that? In the Bible. John. None of us knew that. Now you ruined it. I'd hate to watch a movie with you. Turn in your Bibles to Acts 21. Let's take a look at this person that we don't know yet, who is called Evangelist. They have a game called Bibleopoly. I would not play that with John. Go to verse 8 in Acts chapter 21, if you're there. And read that with me. And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. So none of us knew that, but now you know Philip was the one that was called evangelist in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm just messing with you. So did you catch this? He's one of the seven? Yeah. Well, it's like the 12. You know, it this seven. Not this seven. But when I read that, that's what I think of.
Is he in the remake then?
No, because that's got bad language. This one is clean. At least from what I remember. I would be careful about that. How many of you have seen that? Is it clean?
Good movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of course, I look like Yul Brynner when I shave my goatee. That's the only reason I don't look like him. But yeah, I got to watch that again. Steve McQueen. I don't know this Horst Buchholz. James Coburn, Brad Dexter, Robert Vaughn, and Charles Bronson was in it.
Robert Vaughn?
Charles Bronson?
Yeah, see? Wow. See, you learned something at church today. So the seven in the Bible, these were men chosen by the apostles. See, the apostles were chosen. These seven were chosen by the apostles to serve practical needs within the local church at Jerusalem. So you notice that Philip was one of the seven. In Acts 6:3, says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And of course, that's in chapter 6, and Stephen is one of them. And seven had other things that they did besides this. And Philip was, besides being one of the seven with these tasks, he was called the evangelist. And not just an evangelist, but the evangelist. Pretty interesting. One of these seven was given the title of evangelist, and that is Philip, as we just saw, one of the seven. So note that this reference to him being the evangelist is two verses above what we read last week, the only reference to a man who is given the title of the office of prophet. Isn't that interesting? Here's this, and then two verses later, that. And the only people given the office in the New Testament, the office of prophet and of evangelist. It was in Acts 21:10. In verse 8, we see Philip the evangelist. Verse 10, "And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus." So I just thought that was really interesting. So basically, we need to look to Philip to know what an evangelist is and what he does. Because there's no one else to look at in the scripture as far as what an evangelist is and what an evangelist does. Everything we know about Philip is found in Acts chapter 8. So let's just turn there. Acts chapter 8. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. And we'll do some reading and discussing what we read. And we're just going to do the kind of Bible study you can do on your own, the kind of Bible study you can do at home. But this is just kind of an example of it. You want to know what an evangelist is? You go look it up and you find out Philip's the only one that we know of. And then it's interesting that the only place you find anything about his ministry of evangelism is in Acts chapter 8. It's very interesting the way the Bible is laid out. Now, when you start reading here in Acts 8, if you've read through the book of Acts, you know that Acts chapter 7 details when Stephen had just become the first Christian martyr.
Amen.
And Stephen had been killed for his belief, for what he preached. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, look what it says here. And Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. So the rapture must be close. Amen?
Amen.
No. Persecution has nothing to do with the rapture.
Amen.
And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. They stayed close. But everybody else was like scattered. And it's amazing what we're reading. Saul is the unsaved version of Paul. At this point, he's an enemy of Christianity. So we should parade out all the people who suffered under Saul, and if he was ever inappropriate towards women or anything like that. Amen? Just had to throw that in there. Verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. So he's talking about Stephen being the first Christian martyr, but Saul was the one who oversaw that.
Yeah.
As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing to think about that? But that's Paul before he was saved. Going in every house. He was like a Nazi. He was like the Gestapo, going in every house and taking people out if they professed faith in Jesus Christ.
Real quick, what does hailing mean? Like,
means to like harass and torture, persecute, all that. And it is described later where he literally would, he was involved in torture to get people to recant. And they wouldn't, so then they would be killed. We don't have time to run all that. We've said that before, we'll go through it again, I'm sure. American Christians mistakenly believe that this could never happen to them, as we talk about in our prayer time. And that is wrong. There's no biblical basis for believing that Americans will not suffer persecution. And I'll keep saying it because I keep hearing it. I keep hearing people claim that, oh, this means the rapture's coming. We're going home soon. Baloney. Not biblical. That's no more biblical than the teaching of the Immaculate Conception.
Amen.
There's nothing scriptural about believing that you will not suffer persecution, especially when you or your nation brings it on.
Amen.
And I believe it's coming. So verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere doing what? Now, I love that that's in there, because we're going to talk about Philip the evangelist. And he was in the office of evangelist. And that includes preaching the word. But here it makes sure you understand that everybody that was scattered went everywhere preaching the word. That's everybody in this room. I'm timid. So preach it timidly. I'm quiet. Then preach it quietly. I mean, I'm quiet. I know what it's like. Yeah, that's why I have a microphone. I'm so quiet. I need a microphone. But actually, I do have to preach it quietly a lot of times because I can't breathe.
come here. I'd like to tell you how you cannot go to hell.
We now see Philip the evangelist doing two things. He's traveling.
Amen.
And he's preaching the word. Amen. See that? That's something about being evangelist. That's not something everybody's going to do. It says in verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and did what? Preached Christ unto them. That's the first and foremost thing. And here, I got to tell you this too. It doesn't work like this. It's not like, I believe I'm called to be an evangelist. Therefore, I am going to go and go to this city, and when I'm there, I'm going to preach Christ unto them because the Bible says that's what I'm supposed to do. That's actually not how it works. You know how a person is called to be an evangelist? You know how you know that? Because no one even has to tell them.
Amen.
That guy will not settle down. And he will travel. And he will preach Christ. And no one's going to stop him.
Amen.
See what I mean? There's a difference from reading a manual and doing what you think you're supposed to do to match what it says an evangelist does compared to the calling of God, which is in somebody, and they just got to do it. It's like to Jeremiah. Remember I said, I wanted to stay, meaning he wanted to stop preaching because, as we talked about John a couple weeks ago, no one's listening. In times of apostasy, people aren't listening. And what are they doing with Jeremiah? There's a bunch of false prophets who are part of the ministerial association who are saying, that guy's a quack and he's a liar. Lock him up. And so Jeremiah's like, I'm so sick of dealing with these people. I don't even want to preach anymore. I'm done. And he'd walk away for just, and he's like, I can't help it. He said it was like a fire in his bones. I get like that. I'm just telling you, sometimes you just got to leave. Get away from me. There's somebody who needs to hear it. Maybe you're okay. You don't need to hear it. The best thing to do is just walk away. Because I'm not going to stop. I'm just not going to stop. And I've been in a room with somebody who says, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All you can do is talk about Jesus. Why don't you talk about something else? Sorry, you're going to have to leave. I'm not going to stop. Amen. Sadly, this simple but important calling has been greatly distorted today.
Yeah.
It's just a fact. There are people who call themselves evangelists who are basically just their own little Amway pyramid. And they're at the top and everybody else is the bottom. It's all about their money, making money, you know, And that's what the world sees and thinks an evangelist is these days. Or they call them a tele-evangelist. You know. Well, 99% of all those people calling themselves tele-evangelists are not what we're talking about today. They're not God called. They don't go out and preach Christ. They go out and preach prosperity. Some of them call themselves faith healers or whatever. And we've seen all that. We've seen I've shown you videos and everything. And it's so sad because you see, like Hollywood and what's the movie Chevy Chase was in, Fletch 2, or Fletch Lives, I think it was called. And you remember Gunny, the drill sergeant everybody loves? He's all over the place. He's called Lee Gunny. Lee Emery?
Lee something.
Yeah. And, you know, he plays that part really well. But in that, yeah, Mel Call. But he plays the part of a televangelist in that movie. I don't know if you remember that. And in the movie, it's all about just putting on this show. And he's got an earpiece. And he's acting like he's hearing from God. And he's calling out people. And say, oh, I'm hearing from the Lord. Brother John Allball. Yes, Brother John Allball. Come forward, Brother John. And he'd bring you up and he'd say, Brother John, you're having problems. Your car was struck. And it was a hit and run. And you'd be like, yeah, actually, that did happen. Well, I've got news for you. God is going to provide you a car. And everybody's like, ah, yeah. And then, but you've got to give your seed faith offering, you know. And that's how.
I broke $1,000.
none of that has to do with what we're talking about and what the Bible talks about, the evangelist. But that's why you need to know this, because you need to explain this to people, because most people have a totally distorted idea of what it means to be an evangelist. They see what's out there.
Don't evangelists sweat a lot? Is that...
Yeah, that's a prerequisite, is you have to be sweaty and throw your coat, you know. Huh?
Signature move.
Oh, you have to
yeah.
Move.
Yeah. Philip's converts were baptized and evidently formed local churches. Now, that's why I believe that what we call evangelists are basically something we've separated that I don't believe should be separated, and that is missionaries.
Yeah.
You say, why do you say that? Show me a missionary in the New Testament.
Yeah. Amen.
There is no missionary in the New Testament. You won't find anybody in the office of missionary. Why is that? Well, it's because we took part of what an evangelist should do and snapped it off and made two offices out of it. Now, remember what I started with. We only care what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
I'm contradicting most fundamental Baptists right now.
Amen.
In their use of the term missionary and evangelist. Now, I want to tell you this. Some evangelists do at least the first part of what an evangelist should do. And I've met a few who actually have gone out and started churches. They plant them, they establish it, they help get them, just like Paul. Paul did the work of an evangelist. He was an apostle, but he did the work of an evangelist. The apostles are all on, if you read the history, there's plenty of stories of all the apostles going places and starting churches. So they went out and they preached the gospel, and when people got saved, they set up churches. Now what's interesting here is that Philip's converts were baptized and formed local churches, and we're still in Acts 8. Look at verse 12. Read that with me. But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. It's just interesting that it seems to indicate that Philip's the one that was doing the baptism. And again, we see an account of the work of an evangelist in verses 26 through 35. Still in Acts chapter 8, it says in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. So see, we're still in that transition where the Bible isn't complete, and the angel of the Lord is still speaking as he did in the Old Testament. And he said, arise and go toward the south under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto, what's that word?
Gaza.
Which is desert. That should be very familiar sounding to you. Yep. If your head's not in the sand. This is Israel, modern day. And this is all considered the Negev area. It's south Israel. It's mainly desert. And this little area right here is what's called Gaza. So when you're watching the news and there are Palestinians, as they're called, which is a false name, but they call the people who live here and in the West Bank, they call it Palestinians, and they claim that they're in occupied territories, because it's a long story, but most of you know that Israel was declared a country in 1948, and immediately they were attacked. And when they with this area here, all, you know, looks like a dagger, you know, you get, like this is a handle grip or something. But when they won that war, they won all this land. And since then, that's what wars and peace treaties have been all about, is trying to get back the land that Israel won during war, and Israel being pressured to give back that land for the sake of peace.
Yeah.
And so as you listen to the news, you'll hear about this place that we're just reading about right now. And it's right here. I want you to have that in your mind when you hear in the news. This is Gaza, this little tiny area right here.
Wow.
And it's part of that desert region in the Negev. And it says, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, that's very interesting. Here's this, he's an Ethiopian eunuch, but he is basically like being a part of the administration. He's like the Secretary of the Treasury in our government. And he came from Ethiopia to worship. He's a believer. Now, here's the big picture. He came from down this area.
Wow.
And look at that. See that little thing there? Little tiny thing right there. That's little blue thing. That's Israel. All these countries here, all around there, almost all of them are their enemies, and most of them are Muslim. And they think that tiny little country should give up land. I mean, if you don't see the fingerprints of Satan on that, here's a little close-up of it. And this is Egypt, and this is Jordan, and this is Lebanon up here, Syria, Saudi Arabia, and there's little tiny Israel right there. So you can picture the Ethiopian eunuch coming up and down. And it's just interesting because here we read this about in the book of Acts about this Ethiopian eunuch. And if you pay attention in the news today, that's what it's still all about. Ethiopia and Israel is still in the same sort of relationship that they were in the book of Acts 2,000 years later. It's like I've said, when Jesus comes the second time, it is going to be set up very similar to the way it was the first time.
Amen.
And the similarities we see today are amazing.
Amen.
And so as you're reading these things in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, think about how similar they are to today. Because it's right back to the same setup as it was back then. And the Ethiopian eunuch was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah's. It's a Greek transliteration of Isaiah the prophet. Isn't that something?
Amen.
He's sitting in his chariot. Today he would probably be sitting in a Mustang with the top back. You know, letting the hair, air, you know, breeze run through his scalp. And reading the book of Isaiah. And look what it says. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So I just think that's awesome. Philip is just told, hey, Philip doesn't know what he's doing. But the Holy Spirit sees the eunuch over here reading Isaiah. And he says, Philip, go join yourself to the chariot. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to hear an audible voice. But I believe God sets up appointments.
Amen.
And there are going to be times where you're going to have some reason, you're going to have a prodding to go. Who's pushing me? But you're going to feel like you're being pushed. Just do it. I mean, what's it going to hurt if you walk up to somebody and talk to them about the Lord and they weren't really interested? What's it going to hurt? Nothing. But oh, so many times. It's happened to me. It's happened to you. We could go through the stories, and I've heard those stories for years of people just being told, you know, you ought to go talk to that person. Why? What? Who said that? Okay. And they go up and talk to them, and sometimes they'll just look right at you and say, you know, I was just thinking about this. I've been praying about this. And then you're like, oh, wow. You talk about being in the will of God. That's exciting. I mean, it just gives me the tingles. To think of God.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.